Blog Talk Radio.
Persecuted, criticized, been denied and abandoned. Pushed away, given away. Some days I couldn't imagine. Getting harder, getting colder. What's hard for me to see? Tired of running, tired of hurting. Even got tired of me. Tired of crying, tired of trying to forget my mistakes. Tired of being in the storm. How much more can I take? Many nights in my life. Tell me why I shed more. Tears my eyes would allow. And after all that.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. This is your sister, Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm to be here on this Thursday night, March 31st, 2022, to welcome you to Gap Ministries Bible Study with your anointed, hallelujah, host and facilitator, Apostle J. Leon Travis. So my brothers and sisters, get something to write with and to write on, retrieve your Bibles, and get ready to hear a rhema word from my little sister, the one and only Apostle J. Leon Travis. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Give God all the glory and praises for the blessing of this March 31st, 2022. And I'd like to thank God for the blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the one who paid it all for us and made all things new. I'd like to thank God also for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and that is alive and active. And I want to give thanks to God for you, Apostle Shirlene Cook, a.k.a. Bishop Shirlene, Big Sister Cook, because that's what I call
me,
a.k.a. That be you. And I thank God for the Spirit Alive family that's listening in and for the Gap family, for our Gap ministry team that's very adamant about what we have to do for God's anointed purpose and plan in the earth, and for God appointing you, Apostle Cook, to be our overseer. Not just my big sister, but my mentor, my go-to. If something's going on, you feel it in spirit, you're going to stop everything and call and make sure I'm okay.
Amen.
And I want to thank God for this Rhema word on tonight and for all of you who are listening worldwide. I want everyone to just take some time. I'm going to paint a picture here, but this picture is a picture of it's a picture of real life. We're going to take a stroll and talk about this king, this king who was also a man after God's own heart, who was also left on the backside of the pastors, who his own family didn't think that he was worthy of anything except for being on the backside of the pastors, you know, tending the sheep. That pretty much, we're going to talk about this guy who stood up and was not afraid to say, you know, in the name of the Lord, I come in the name of the Lord God, and I will smite you. And, you know, he knocked down a giant. Not only did he knock him down, he hit him once and killed him. And then not only did he hit him once and killed him, he cut his head off. We're going to talk about this guy that had a man murdered just to cover up his sin, you know, because we have to know what to go get and what not to get, what to go after and what to let loose of. But we're going to talk about this guy who is the man after God's own heart who had to do one thing. What I loved about King David in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, we're going to go from verse 1 through 9, but we're going to take the meat of everything that we're going to talk about tonight from verse 8. Everybody is very familiar with this this particular scripture. Now, I'm going to start at verse 1, and then I'm going to just, you know, explain some few things, and we're going to get into it as the Holy Ghost leads this sister, because that's how I roll with it. So we're going to come with the word of God. It reads in 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 1 says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Verse 2 says, and they had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. I want y'all to remember what he said in verse 2. He said they slew not, meant they didn't kill anyone, old or small, old or young, great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. Verse 3, it says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and the wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam And she was a Jezreelite. I can't say her name, but what she was, but she was a Jezreelite. And Abigail was the wife of Nabal. She was a wise woman, a woman of hospitality, and she knew exactly what to do, when to do it. That's another story. That's another Bible study. She was a Carmelite. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm going to repeat that. But David. See, the but means to take notice, pause there for a minute, and see what's going to happen. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech, son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. That's the priestly adornings. Now, verse 8 says that, and David inquired at the Lord, meaning he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, he, meaning God. And he said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Verse 9, so David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, which those that were left behind stayed. Now, it does talk, we're going to go back. But before we do, Father, I thank you for the blessing of this word, for the outpouring of your spirit upon this word. Father, we ask this word, that this word would take root into the heart, that it would flow through the ears, but it would take root in the heart, and that it would encompass the spirit of each listener upon this call, Father, that they may take this word as a seed and use it, Father God, to sow into the lives of other people, that we may glean in the fields of your labor and bring in a harvest, Father God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we go. So what would you do if you came home, seeing you had in your house, everything you worked for, everything that you earned, everything that you owned, in not just your possessions, but your family, somebody had came and took it from you. Not only did they take it, but they burned what was left. What would you do? Some people say, well, because I've been asking the question, it's not like taking a survey. I'm just nosy like that because I want to hear different reactions. So if it's something that God is going to give me to talk to you about, I'm going to give you what he says. So what would you do? If I came up to you and took your coach purse, Apostle Cook, what would you do? Somebody overseas in the Netherlands, what would you do if I came and took your car that you worked hard for and you had been riding a bike for 6 years, you know, or you barely had a bike because you was in that backfield, you know, in that back pastures. So a lot of, you got to think about what it says. The men came to the city. In verse 3, it said, the men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire in their wives. Now, if it was burned, there was smoke. So they had to see the smoke off of a distance. So there is something that's from a distance that God is going to show you that something has been removed from you illegally. Something has been taken from you. God is always going to give us a sign. So that was a sign that something was amiss, something's wrong. So when they arrived into the city of Ziklag, the wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Now you understand what it does say in verse 2. It says that the women, they've taken the women captive and everything that was therein, but they didn't kill them. Back in those days when they took captive cities, they killed everybody. Men, women, and children. And the thing of it is, there had to be something that God had amiss right here, because nothing happens on the earth unless God allows it. Now, remember that, beloved. So, again, I'm going to ask you again, what would you do if you come back and you found what you have is burned? Not only is it burned, but what they did burn, they took. And then they took your wife, and they took your daughter, they took your son, they took your nieces and your nephews, they took your siblings, they took your aunts and your uncles, they took your pastor out of the pulpit, they took your favorite music out of your CD player. They took what belonged to you. So most people say, when somebody takes something from me, I'm going to walk up on it and cook. Bishop Cook, you know I'm not, you know I'm telling the truth, Apostle. They snatch them. You give me
come
back
on
what's
now.
Mine.
Tell the truth.
Give me back what's mine. I'm going to fight this battle. I'm going to go, you know, okay, let's be real. I'm going to go get my nine. I'm going to go get my 380.
Oh, well.
I'm going to go get my shotgun because I'm going to handle this thing my way. But what would you do if you're going to do it the way God wants you to do? How would you know how to do it? You know what it says down here in verse 8 where the meat's going to be taken? It said, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the thing of it is, David did what should be done in everything that we should do. He talked to God first. He, you know, now think about it. David was known as the warrior king. When he went into battle, he didn't lose, ask Saul. He won so many battles and took so many heads that they were singing that Saul killed his thousand, but David killed his tens of thousands. Saul got jealous. See, sometimes you can do so much for, you'll do everything for God, and some people do everything for man, and it separates you. When you're doing it for God, you got the favor of God, and then you have the favor of mankind, and then they're going to sing songs about you, or they're going to give you accolades, and that's going to make people hate you. Okay, so there are some Sauls. So Saul was one of those people. He wanted to do it his way. He made sacrifices outside of what the prophet told him not to do. We all know what happened to Saul. He didn't put the witnesses out of the camp, but he then, instead of him inquiring of God what he needed to do concerning the battle, he inquired of a medium. And the prophet rose up, and guess what the prophet told him? You and your sons will be with me tomorrow. So here's what I'm going to take this hook with you right here, to be mindful of your choices and your decisions and when you put God first, because if you don't, not only will it affect you, your life, your beginning and your end, but it will touch your family too. You can wipe, Saul's whole family was wiped out based on the fact that what he did, he didn't inquire of the Lord, he inquired of a witch. But David, in verse 8 said, David inquired at the Lord. Now, here's a man that all his men was with him, and because their families was taken, their possessions was taken, they were talking about getting rid of, oh boy, y'all go to the rock pile. In fact, bring me back a big brick. Bring me back a cinder block. I'm going to take him out with one blow. He took Goliath down. Guess what? We getting rid of him. I mean, we done lost our children. We following him. We done lost our wives, our possessions, our home. They weren't inquiring of God because they were so caught up in our grief. Sometimes we can be so caught up in our situation, we are not looking to God for the answer. We're not looking to God for the resolution. We're not looking to God to see how do we address this. Do we pursue or do we allow you? Do we make a move or do we stand back and let you hold our peace and allow you to fight the battle? Because sometimes the battle is not ours, but this time the battle was David's. You know why? Because David put God first. He put God first no matter with the people trying to kill him, because some people, like in your flesh, if people are after you to kill you, you're going to be scared. The only thing they'll probably say is, oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Oh, God, I need you. Hide me, Lord. Some people ask God to hide them. God wants you right there in front so he can show them who you are through him. Who he has you to be. A lot of people don't believe that. I love the fact that David said, shall I? He said, well, Lord, I'm going to let you know what I'm going to do. I'm going down here. I'm going to deal with these Amalekites. They even took both my wives. They didn't take one. They took both of them. They took my sons and my daughters. They got the sons and daughters and the wives of my men. And it had to be 600 because that's what the word says. But not all 600 went in. See, when you inquire of God on what it is that you're supposed to do, everybody that you think supposed to roll with you will not be allowed to roll into what you got to do, because everybody's mind is not, everybody's not concerned with what God wants. They want what they want. Did y'all catch that? Everybody's mind is not concerned with what God wants. It's on what they want. See, David is called the man after God's own heart. So when he asked God, shall I pursue after this truth? When you pursue something, it's to follow in order to overtake it, to follow someone or something. And it's a call to account. That means David wanted to go to recover everything that was taken. He had to follow an order. So he followed God's order and not man's order. What is it that you're doing in this life that you're pursuing outside of the will of God? You have not inquired of God what you should pursue. You know, some people pursue money. Some people pursue careers. Some people pursue degrees, but they won't pursue God in the word. They won't pursue him and seek after him. They won't pursue his heart. I've heard people, Apostle Cook, say, well, I did, but God know my heart. And, you know, when they say that to me, I said, yeah, but if you knew God's heart, you wouldn't have done that, because that's not of his heart. David was a man after God's own heart. He knew before he made the next move on what to do, no matter who's talking about killing him, no matter what they're talking about, how they want to punish him for their pain and suffering. Because some people do want to punish you for their pain and suffering. They want to make you responsible, but simply because you're the leader don't make you responsible for those things that happen to you in your life. Simply because somebody is leading you, you cannot blame the leader, because your choice is the seed that you planted. Every choice is a seed. And the thing of it is that whatever you decide to do, you shouldn't make a decision without inquiring of God first. The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Then all things shall be added. The thing of it is, we'll say, we'll get there and we'll pray. And then we'll get up. We don't sit there and meditate and wait to hear God. See, meditation is listening to God. Prayer is talking to him. There are two things, two sides to it. When we pray, we have to wait on God's response. David didn't say, well, should I pursue? Okay, well, I went in and I went, you know, to the Ark of the Covenant and I prayed. And I asked God, should I pursue? So I'm just going to go, let's roll. If he had did it that way and not waited on God's response, I believe they all would have been wiped out, or a great many of them, a great multitude. God was still showing the Amalekites. He was still showing the people with David. He was showing people on both sides that all you have to do is put me first. All you have to do is seek me in everything you do, good and bad. All you have to do, if you think somebody came and took something from you, don't say, well, Lord God, I'm going to take him to court. Now, some of us will do that. But you know what you should say? Lord, is this something that you want me to recover, or was this an opening that you needed to be taken from me? Because everything that you lost is not a permanent thing. Some things was pruned from your life. Some things was plucked out. Now, these people were not pruned or plucked out. They were stolen. And it was the reason why they didn't kill them, because God wouldn't allow that to happen. There are things that have been taken from you. You think that it's about death to you, but it's not the end. You have to wait and inquire of the Lord and ask him which route to take. That is very, very, very important to do in life. If you don't seek God first in all that you do, you're going to always end up last place. You're going to always end up in a ditch. You're going to always be in battle. You're going to always be going around the same mountain. You're going to always be doing the same thing. You're going to always be in the same demonic cycles. You're going to always be stuck and hooked to the wrong thing. You're going to always be anchored in zigzags. You're going to always be in the back pasture. You're going to always be accused of something. You're going to always be tied to your past. But when you inquire of God, And take this route. Do I make this education the way that you want to show my purpose that you've given me? Or do I go and I do this here? And I need you to tell me, do I pursue this so I can recover everything that the enemy has taken me from me, like my peace, my happiness, my joy, my health, my strength, that has caused my children to go wayward in the world? Do I pursue and recover all? Yes, we do, because God said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. They that belong to it, they that belong, all belong to him. They that dwell therein, we all belong to him. We belong to nobody but God. You know why? Because Jesus Christ paid that price. So Jesus said to God, when God was like, you know, Satan down there cutting up, he got my people going crazy. I already took out things by water, but now what am I going to do this time? What should I do? And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to show Satan just who I am. You know, I believe Jesus said, because he's the son of David. Shall I pursue and recover all? So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the cross for them. I'm going to minister on it. I'm going to live on the earth for 32 days, which is no time to God, because they say 1,000 years is but an hour to him. So guess what? 40 years is but an hour. Thank you, daughter. 40 years is but an hour to him. I thank God, my daughter listening. But the thing of it is that when you ask of God, you have to inquire. And all that is a process of asking for information, for directions. You have to put a question to God sometimes on what to do. Lord, how do you want me to pray for them? Lord, do you want me to, I've heard people say, I'm going to keep them out of church. Who are you? Apostle, is there anything in the Bible that I may have missed that tell us to keep people out of church because they may have wore a red skirt or they wore red fingernails or because they used to be a prostitute and they saw them talking to the old pimp? They could have been giving them the word. But is there anything in there that say, kick them out? And the thing of it is, we need to inquire of God and not of man. Put God first in everything that you do. When you are going after what you has been taken from you, you got to get the go-ahead from God first by way of the Holy Ghost, by it studying his word, and you got to have the blood of Jesus and that power and that authority on you to do so. Because if you pursue to take over something that you have not been anointed to take over, you're going to catch some serious problems. You're going to end up with what my dad used to tell my brothers. You're going to end up with some RBI, some real bad injury. And the thing of it is, a bad injury in the spirit is no joke. Demons are nothing to play with if you are not equipped, if you are not anointed, if you haven't inquired of God, if you have not taken time to pray or fast or seek him. You know, the thing of it is that when you get up early in the morning, and a lot of times a lot of people tell me they get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, they couldn't sleep, or they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep. I need you guys to look up the 8 prayer watches of the night, and it's going to explain to you exactly what it is that God is doing for you in that hour. But that's when people are inquiring of the Lord, how should I pray? How should I fast? How should I handle this situation or that situation? David inquired of the Lord. David was a man after God's own heart. David was not a perfect man, but he had a perfect love for a perfect and unfailing God. Your pursuit of the things of God should be in that manner, in this order. You have to seek him first, as the word says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ask and shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. What did David do? Not only did he inquire of the Lord, he waited on God's response, and God responded. And God says, and it says in the word in verse 8, it said, and he answered him. He said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Not recover part of it, not recover only what's not damaged. You shall recover all. My this little sermon here tonight, it wasn't like the one that I normally would just have, just, hey, this, that, and the other. But God is telling us to pursue and recover all. We have to pursue and recover this generation because we're losing it. We have to pursue and recover the true church. Apostle Cook and I were just talking about it, how the church needs to stand and be what we're supposed to be in the body, in the earth, the body of Christ. God is not coming back. He's not pursuing the building. He's pursuing the living church. He's coming. Jesus is going to come back and recover all. And he's already pursuing us through what he did in his life, crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. There are so many signs of Christ in every scripture of this word. You could see it really early in David, because a lot of the things that David did, Jesus, it was already encompassed and embodied in him, because Jesus is the son of David. The thing of it is that when something is taken from you, don't act out of your flesh. Don't act out of your flesh. Take time. Take a deep breath, because there's somebody on here, Apostle Cook, that really wants to go and handle some business, that they just need to sit tight and talk to God and ask God, how do you want me to proceed? because there are scriptures that they'll tell you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. For thy am God and thy changeth not. And the thing of it is, it said, they that call upon the Lord in the time of trouble, what does he do? He answers. He saves us. When you're asking and inquiring of God what it is that we should do, you're letting him know that I can't do this without you, and I need your wisdom. I need your hand, and I need your word on this. I need your power and your authority. And when you allow God to be God, whatever he tells you to pursue and recover all, your children, your health, your strength, your mind, your emotions, your peace, your joy, your freedom, your broken heart, he'll tell you, yeah, pursue and recover. I'll put that back together. All you got to do is pursue what God is allowing you and instructing you to pursue. You don't need to chase after everything, because sometimes you chase after smoke. And one thing about smoke, you can never capture it. The only thing smoke is going to do is blind you and choke you out. The thing that I love about what David did, he inquired. It was the process of asking for information and knowledge of what to do and directions. And when God answered him, he told him what to do. And what a lot of people think is that we can go in with 60, 70 people, but sometimes it only takes a handful. David left with, what, about 600 men? But I think he went in with maybe 400 or 300. But the key thing he went in with was God's instructions, obedience to God's instructions, and the hand of God. God, the battle was already won before they got there, because God said, you shall recover all without fail. And the thing of it is whatever it is, beloved, on this line, I don't know who it is, but it's somebody on here. What it is that you feel like you're going to take into matters into your own hands, that's not your job, and that's not your call. I ask you that right now in the name of Jesus that you would ask God how to handle this situation. And if God tells you to hold your peace and let him fight the battle, I pray that it come upon you to be obedient to just that word. If God tells you to pursue and recover all, I pray that you would listen closely with clarity for the instructions and follow them line upon line, precept upon precept, exactly as he says it. I pray that if it's you that says, well, I don't need nobody, I can handle this myself, I made this on my own self. Yeah. We were created in the image of Almighty God. And the thing of it is that when we come to know these things, whatever the enemy has taken from us, God has given us clarity through Christ Jesus and by way of the Holy Ghost to pursue and recover all. God bless you.
Amen and glory to God. What a wonderful word. What I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to ask the GAP ministry team to come on in the room. We have our sister Holloway here, and we have Elder Leola and Brandy. You may start us off, but if tonight that has a comment or a question, or if you're sitting in the chat room tonight, you have a comment or a question, you can start typing them now. If you are in the chat, if you're in the studio and you have a question, please press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Amen. So, Apostle Jay, if you would like to start by going around the room where you are, and then we'll pick up our sisters and anyone else who has a comment or a question.
Okay, I'm going to give the mic to Sister Brandy right now. And I believe that Sister Cheryl that's on there as well. And then I'll give it to Elder Leola. But here's Sister Brandy.
Okay.
And we welcome her to the ministry.
Amen.
Hello, everybody. Thank you all so much. My name's Brandy, and I'm just happy to even be a part of y'all's ministry, even be a part of God's work in any kind of way, however his purpose and plan for me is. And I'm just so grateful to hear this word that sister or brother, my Lord, forgive me, I'm nervous, y'all. Miss J gave us tonight, y'all. I love all y'all. I don't even know y'all, but I love y'all. Hopefully y'all won't. Just thank you for letting me be a part of this, y'all.
Amen. Sister Cheryl.
Amen.
All right, Sister Cheryl. Okay.
Yeah, I had to unmute myself. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Tonight,
praise the Lord.
A great word. A lot of times we always take things into our own hands. You know, we'll pray and then we'll just go on about our business. But we just have to take that time to just pause, you know, and wait on God to give us an answer. You know, it's hard to wait. Because we're just so impatient. We're very impatient, and we just got to learn to have patience, because if we wait on God to give us the answer, we can't go wrong. If he
Amen.
Tells us to wait, then just wait, you know. Wait on what he has to say. Wait on his timing, because his timing is never wrong.
Amen.
But
That's
if we
good.
go before when he tells us to go, then ain't no telling what we're going to do. Because it's not of God. We just going on our own self. We just doing it on our own. We have to wait and do what God says. So we just have to wait so we can recover all. We have to listen and get instructions.
Amen.
Great word of God today.
Yes, it was. Next.
Elder Leola. Hello, Bishop. This is Elder Leola.
Hey, girl.
What I got from the message. Hey, how you doing?
I'm blessed.
good. What I got from the word is just like if you're going into a battle or you're going into a fight, when you go in, you're going to go in with someone that's going to help you win. You're not going to go in with the loser. You're going to go in with the winner. And with that, I mean, you can't lose with God. You know, the battle's already won. It's already your victory. But you have to remember that with all things, you have to consult him first. With everything, he said, come to him first. So when you do that, you're a winner. But always remember that he is on your side, that you're not alone, you're not by yourself. Amen.
Amen. Well, this was a wonderful word. And if you are listening tonight, hallelujah. And if you need to recover your future, if you need to recover your life, tonight we as sisters and family are here to invite you into a relationship, hallelujah, with Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Because if you, as you go out into this world, you will not make it alone. You need, hallelujah, the protection of the Most High God. And beloved, if you're in here tonight, hallelujah, I see you, little sister, and you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, now is a good time to stop, drop, and give him you. Now, you don't have to get all dressed up and go into a building and stand before a congregation to give your life to Christ. All you have to do is bow your heart, hallelujah, and go to him and tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and ask him to forgive you of your sin. Please forgive me of my sin. And then tell him why you're asking him to be your Savior. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. I believe that you came, you died, and you rose, and this is where you can make it, noble love, just for me. And then you ask him to come into your life and rescue you. Hallelujah. Come into your life and change you. Come into your life and help you to recover all that the enemy has stolen from you. And if you prayed that prayer, then I want to welcome you to the family of faith. I want to welcome you to the family of God. On behalf of myself, Apostle Jay, Sister Brandy, hallelujah, Elder Leola, hallelujah, my dear sister, Elder Cheryl, we just want to all invite you to come on in. Don't wait, because tomorrow is not promised. But if you did pray that prayer, welcome. And Father, if there be, I'm looking, I'm scrolling, I don't see any ones, but I want to bind this rhema word, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we want to thank you for the message and for the messenger. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you pour back into your anointed servant as she is poured out unto your people. Father God, I pray that I'm binding this word in the name of Jesus. I pray that all of us who are called by your name would stop grasping at straws and reach for you. Even in a time such as this, Father God, we can recover all if we just wait and heed the instructions that you give us. If we just wait, hallelujah, wait on you, Father God. We know that all things shall be added unto us. We know that all things will be given back to us, hallelujah. And if we walk with you just so, nothing will be taken from us, because you said in your holy word that we lack nothing. Father God, I pull down that stronghold of impatience and I loose patience into the world. I pull down that stronghold of desperation, hallelujah, and I loose dedication unto your holy word. I pull down that spirit of unbelief, Father God, and I loose faith. Faith unmovable, faith unstoppable. God, we just thank you for being able to come together on one accord. Hallelujah. Lifting up your name through your holy word, because you are Jesus, the Logos, the living word of God. I want to thank you for all these beautiful sisters that have gathered here tonight. I want to thank you, Lord God, that they are not ashamed of the gospel and they're willing to share. Hallelujah. And we just pray for the listeners all over the world, Lord God, that they would hear this message and have hope. Be encouraged, Lord. Be empowered. Be impacted. Be strengthened, oh God, because that's exactly what this word has done for me. I just pray it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Apostle Jay, do you have any more announcements that you would like to make before you close your program?
We're just asking for traveling grace and mercy. As the ministry team, we will be traveling tomorrow morning to Springfield, Missouri, and to Branson, Missouri, for fellowship and ministry and missions work.
Amen. Hallelujah. So everybody, let's keep our beautiful sisters lifted up as they travel out and travel forth in the name of Jesus. We just thank God for all of you who joined us here tonight. And we thank you for listening. And we pray that, hallelujah, as you continue to walk with us here at Spirit Alive, that the Lord will give you the Holy Ghost conviction to speak up and speak out in his name. But until then, we are so glad that you were here. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week in the Lord, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household of faith to yours. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from the GAP ministry team and all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, beloved. God bless you. I love you all.
Good
God
night.
Bless you.
Love you too, Apostle. Good night. Thank you.
Amen.